All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's an FBF Friday on The Usual Suspects, and thankfully for all parties involved, all parties are present and accounted for here at the Gal Media Studios. Nick is here. Barry's here. I'm here. We're going to be here for the next 3 hours as we have some special guests, lots of stuff planned, and FEF Friday is never complete without the suspects. So, everybody, welcome aboard, and how's it going?
Good, good, good. How are you?
What is going on?
Everything's good in the neighborhood, fellas.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You happy it's Friday?
Very happy it's Friday.
Yep. Do you say Fry-yay?
Huh? Who's saying that? 12-year-old girls and Joel.
You.
Fry-yay.
I didn't say it. You said it.
I had a thing where I said for a while, I was like, if you say Fry-yay, I hope you sad or die. Huh? Who's starting it off with a bang? This guy. All right.
Because Fro-yo.
Nope. That wasn't at all. Yogurt. Please don't ruin it.
Fry-yay would be fried what?
Yeah. No. See? I asked, specifically asked for you not to ruin
which
it.
Which is exactly why I'm doing it.
Ah, good times.
Great times. Anybody do anything fun last night?
I did not. I pulled weeds for 2 hours.
Yeah, that sounds like fun for you, not fun for us.
Let me tell you what. I was embarrassed at how bad my flower beds were.
Nick and I were getting reports. We were embarrassed, too. We just wondered when you were going
to
take care of it.
Honest to God, I had a weed that was taller than me in my front flower bed and had no idea because I don't go out there. And I almost took pictures and send it to you guys so Nick would feel better about his yard and some of the areas in there. But then I was like, no, because they'll never let me live this down. I can just talk about it. Because if they see it, it's going to be way worse than me just talking about it. It was really,
I guarantee it
was embarrassing.
Was it like a sunflower?
My wife said, I'm surprised people don't think our home is in foreclosure. That's how bad the flower bed is.
Yeah, but y'all's standards is way too high. Like, if you think your home looks like it's in foreclosure looking like that, you haven't seen.
No, I promise you.
You haven't seen my yard.
Well, I mean, the mowing side is fine. It's just the weeds. So, yeah, I spent 2 hours weeding flower beds. And then here's what I decided. This sucks that I don't want to weed the flower bed anymore. So I just got the weed eater. That's how bad they were. I had to get the weed eater and just go in and weed whack.
That would be the first thing I would do anyway. I'm not going to hand pull the weeds.
No, that's the only way to get rid of them is to pull the weeds.
My dad used to have a golf club. Like it literally had like a sickle on the end of it. Mm-hmm. But it was a golf club grip and a golf club.
And that's how he would weed?
And he would swing them and just not, you know, get to the dandelions down as close as he could.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know you're supposed to get them from the root.
You're supposed to pull them. But I was like, oh, or you can get, you know, like a Roundup type spray and spray them.
I think the cancer and the asbestos comes free of charge with that.
Well, yeah, there's that.
I just see the lawsuits all the time on TV. Yeah. If you use Roundup to kill your weeds, your ear's going to fall off.
Right. So that's what I did. I went and got the weed eater and weed whacked the rest of the flower beds, and I was like, well, that'll suffice. It's just we have company coming over on Saturday, and my wife's embarrassed about it, and I'm like, I'm not doing the yard yet.
Let's be honest. If they weren't coming over, it still would be the way it was.
What do you mean?
Your yard. You wouldn't have done it last night if you didn't have company coming
100%
over.
100% fact.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
100% fact. They would still be 7 foot tall weeds in the flower bed.
You were just waiting for the frost to try and kill stuff.
That's it.
Stuff.
You know me well.
Yep. Yeah, we didn't do a whole... Taylor so zeroed in on all these classes at the gym that, like it or not, I am at the gym every night. So I see Akeem every night.
Uh-huh.
Akeem's teaching the youngsters, which I think is awesome.
Very cool.
Taylor is taking her classes, and then I'm forced to work out. So
look at
got
you.
Got that done. There was, by the way, horrible night of sports.
Yeah, it wasn't a great night. I didn't...
Lakers, Warriors, LeBron sitting... No.
Making fun of Draymond for getting ejected.
Which, I'm not normally ever on Draymond's side.
Uh-huh.
Last night I was leaning on Draymond's side.
I didn't watch it. What happened?
So the first one they get mixed up, and Dwight Howard, of all people, who's the biggest fake tough, I'll let you fill in the blank on the word to use for soft. Yeah.
Okay.
And they start banging, and Dwight starts throwing his hip
just
into
him. Let me bang, bro.
And they go and call a foul on Draymond. And he's like, are you kidding me? And Dwight instigated it. So they give him the first one. And then you just know from that point on, Draymond's just, you can't reel him in. And then he deserved the second one, and they tossed him. But he was just so riled up from the first one. And Dwight kept going at him. And it was like, well, if that now, I don't more of want to give Dwight that much credit for thinking through the game that much. But if that was his objective, it worked very well because he didn't even get a foul out of the deal. And Draymond was sent to the showers.
Wow.
Yeah. But that game was a blowout. And, you know, there really wasn't anything much going on.
You didn't watch any, you didn't tape and watch the combine? I said tape for you.
Thanks.
You didn't tape and watch the combine?
I saw highlights of it at like 2 in the morning when I was feeding Madison. I saw some of the highlights there. I saw it at the gym. I was watching at the gym. That and I was watching nighttime Astros baseball.
What?
Yeah, AT&T Sportsnet last night did Astros Nationals.
Oof.
Yeah. 5-5 tie is how it ended.
You're really needing something to watch.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm at the gym, yeah. When I got home, I didn't watch anything. Okay. I was done at that point.
Just play with the kids. And
just get everything in the house in order because there was a ton going on. Yeah, so that was about it. Nick, you do anything fun Excellent. Or interesting? Or I mean, you're the one that we live vicariously through.
Right? Please tell me you did something fun.
Not really. I was really Chipotle, I've been really hard on their queso, and they just introduced this new white Blanco queso that I really wanted to try. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted to be a fat ass and try, and I was scared. I didn't like the way it looked, so I just didn't try it. So
you didn't even eat it.
So you went, got it, and didn't eat it.
I went over there and just got me a bowl. So if anybody's tried the new queso, please let me know if it's good because I'm too chicken to try.
Was it yellow or white?
Wow. It was queso blanco, so it's white. Or white-ish.
I don't like the white cheese queso.
Why?
I just don't.
Is there, are you racist?
No, I just don't like the way it tastes.
It just tastes like cheese.
Better cheese when it's yellow. Just let you know.
What? No. There's cheese doesn't
when
have
you
a,
start telling me about cheese, we got problems.
Well, that's
I'm
okay.
just going to let you know.
All right.
As a native. I mean, okay. that I will have to throw that one
I mean,
out there.
I would think that if white cheese was going to come from anywhere, it'd be Wisconsin.
I mean, everything's, they have white
everything's
cheese there.
White
I just
in
don't
Wisconsin.
Prefer it for wow. I just don't prefer it for queso.
At literally everything. The people, the snow, the cheese. It's all white in Wisconsin. Can I keep saying it like that?
Sure.
Does it bother you?
Nope. Because they know you're not from there. The way you say it, they know you're not from there. So that's absolutely fine.
Okay. Yeah. So not a white cheese?
No. I've told you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not okay. for queso. I can, you know, mozzarella and all that stuff's fine, but not for queso. Just not a fan.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's see. So we've got some NBA we can catch up on, but definitely the Rockets. Big road trip this week, this weekend, as they head off to Boston for a primetime game on ABC tomorrow night against the Celtics. And leading up to that, we'll have to get to this. Rachel Nichols, I believe it was filmed during the All-Star break.
This is the biggest hype right here. This is the big
some
lead.
Good stuff. I retweeted it, and you guys know me. If it's not legit, especially Rockets-wise, I ain't doing it, but I'm calling it like I see it. Great interview. Rachel Nichols one-on-one with James, and it wasn't the fluffy, I love my team, and this is great, and this is great. They got down to business on a lot of stuff, and one of them was James spouts back at Giannis. James talks about small ball. He talks about honest conversations they have in the locker room, and it's like, you know what? I like this, and I like the fact that James is kind of, for once, kind of bowing out and going back at people and saying, "In you know, my game and who I am and whatever, I'm not backing down from it. I'm the greatest. I'm the best player in the league."
So you think that this was all honest and above board, and it wasn't any hype talk or none of that stuff? Like it was legit, honest answers to questions?
I don't think that James listens to many people in the Rockets organization in terms of what to say. Or he used to have, when Rob Pelinka, before he took the GM job for the Lakers, he was James's agent. And he had a girl, Diana, that worked with him. And they would work closely together on things, that he would appearances he would do, interviews, etc. Since then, I just wouldn't, in my personal opinion, I just don't think he's listening about just about anybody but himself.
Okay.
So what came out of his mouth, and I was happy for it, because a lot of times, you know, players take the high road on a lot of different issues. He didn't skirt the fact that he talked about even Giannis's comments at the All-Star game, but he even said, Rachel said, where do you think you are in terms of the rest of the NBA? He goes, I think I'm the best player in the league.
Well, he's sitting back down.
And good, so I like the fact that he stepped up in that regard. He also said that he thinks they're going to win it and win it this year.
Yeah, well, we've heard
that. That might be a little bit too much. That's,
so he did have some hyperbole in the interview.
But, you know, in a six-and-a-half-minute interview, and you know it was longer than that, you're bound to have some.
Not that I expect any athlete to come out and be like, yeah, we suck. We're not. We'll be lucky to get out of the second round. No one's going to say that, especially if they feel like.
Well, Tillman did. We could either lose in the first round or we could win it all. So there's a gamut you can run.
I mean, no, that's a fact, though. That's 100%
fact. He
didn't
say first round. He just said a playoff.
No. His first quote was, and the one he gave the Austin Statesman was, we could easily lose in the first round or win it all.
But that's true.
I don't remember him saying that at all.
Seven-game series to somebody like the Jazz or the Clippers?
Yeah, I'll find the quote for you. But, yeah, he definitely – you know, look, I mean, look, here's the thing. Portland's the team. Portland's another one of those teams. Like, you don't want to play the Pelicans right now just because they're finally starting to get Zion worked into the mix.
Yeah.
But if Portland gets Nurkic back with Melo, McCollum, Lillard, the way Lillard's been playing, and some of the pieces they have, you don't want that as a first-round matchup.
No, you don't. But, man, with all the injuries that they've had and continue to have, they're running out of time.
They are. That's the biggest thing. Their biggest thing is just making the playoffs. I don't think the Lakers would want to see Portland in the first round as opposed to anybody else.
I don't know why, but I just don't think the Lakers are scared of anybody.
I agree with that.
I mean, I don't think they would care if it was Portland or, you know, anybody really.
I tend to agree with that. I think if the Clippers, you might have to start worrying about some things because they're not playing great basketball. The Lakers are playing very, very well. So lots of stuff we can get to. Obviously, the Roughnecks looking to go 4-0 this weekend in Dallas. That's a biggie. So if you want to join the show, the Rough... You go ahead. You like to do it.
See, I got him off guard. He was like, huh, you do it.
Yep, you do it.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to steal Granado's thunder.
Charlie did it, and he likes it. Huh? But Charlie subtly takes the dig, too. So Charlie does it. And then Charlie goes, I like the way John does that when he rolls his R as he takes it from Greg Papa as he's called Raiders games for years. Because Charlie's a broadcast connoisseur. So he mixes in the compliment with the backhanded taking it from Greg Papa. But God,
Charlie must be from Wisconsin if he talks like
don't
that.
Don't insult my people.
All right.
If you guys want to join the show, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number. Also, you can hit us up on Twitter. And our FYI Friday stands for Funny Jerry Rocha is
never
our funny
heard of
this
him.
Day today. As Jerry will be joining us in studio at 2:30 as he's in town to do a couple shows this weekend. So that'll be good to catch up with him.
Yep.
You're a good buddy and a fellow comedian. So
friend of the show. I mean, you know, you've done shows with him, you and Nick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we have. But we start by saying first he's worked with you. We'll be back with a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back! Just getting started on The Usual Suspects. Just a little FYIzer. Our F is for funny because our comedian of the week is going to be in the studio today. So
right.
Jerry Rocha will join us later in the show. We were talking Rockets before the break, fellas, and we know that Giannis at the All-Star game said in the fourth quarter his plan was for his team Giannis was to give the ball to whoever James Harden was guarding, and we didn't really hear any James responses. And then he continued to make, you know, a couple other pot shots at James and during the draft process for the All-Star game, as he said, I want someone that's going to pass when someone said, are you going to take Harden? So he took Kemba Walker instead. So as part of that, we caught the clip. Nick has the clip of Rachel Nichols in this interview. I believe it's going to probably air starting today on The Jump and tomorrow during the game, where he kind of claps back, and I like it.
You do have people talking about some of the stereotypes that have blown up around you. Charles Barkley, when they had the All-Star draft, was saying, oh, no one wants to take James Harden. He's a dribbler. Giannis Antetokounmpo makes a joke on the air about, I want to take someone who can pass. I'm taking Kemba Walker instead of James Harden.
I have more assists than him, I think.
You ranked 10th in assists going into the All-Star break, and Kemba ranked 36th in assists going into the All-Star break.
So I don't see what the joke is. But I didn't even see it. You know, I don't pay attention to stuff like that. I just know none of them can mess with me.
Mm. Boy.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like it a lot.
I do. I like the, I don't pay attention to it. I believe that to a certain degree. I think he's kind of in his own world. But then he gets wind of it and he's probably like, okay, we're going to play each other at some point. So, okay, when I light you up for 50, then you can not pay attention. So I believe to a certain degree, but come on. You know James as well as I do. Yep. That once he finds out about it, and it's going to bother him to a certain degree. He seems like the kind of dude, though, even on the court, that if he is rattled, he's not going to show you. He's going to internalize it and maybe, you know, do some things later. But he does not like Russ. Like, if that was Russ, you know what I mean? It's a whole different – the way Russ handles things and James handles things that happen to each other, I think, is a bit different.
Well, Russ is very much like, I'm just speaking my mind, and I don't care what you think. Russ is the biggest I don't care what you think guy in the league, I think. Because even like the other night when John Morant said, I think that Russ has always been disrespected. He's always been my favorite player. I don't think people give him a lot of credit. And he basically could even take the compliment without saying, I mean – you know, I appreciate him saying that, but I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And he goes, I'm just going to go out there and bust everybody's ass every night.
Yeah.
And that's Russ. James normally either high roads or no roads.
Okay.
So for him to say that, I liked. There's one that Nick, at some point, will have to make it like one of our drops for the show, because he says, he talks about like being the best, but it's not, it doesn't matter what he says. He finishes and he goes, and it's just this really awkward laugh. But he essentially, you know, I like the fact that he came out and spoke his mind. And, you know, the fact that Giannis has been the guy that is like everybody's darling, right?
Yes.
He's the small market team. He's the guy, you know, the Cinderella story. So everybody just is like loving Giannis. And we know that outside of Houston, there is a ton of hate, whether it's deserved or not, for James Harden.
Do you think, though, is this a case of James taking himself too serious? That he could have had just had fun with it? Or, you know, was Giannis just joking?
No. Let me tell you something. This goes back to about a year ago, and this goes back to the MVP.
Uh-huh.
And whether they wanted to say it publicly or not, there were some things said and some actions. And quite honestly, the fact that James wasn't there when Giannis got the MVP,
Giannis,
it bothered him a lot. And he made comments that he didn't show because he knew he wasn't going to win it. So there's some more deep-rooted stuff, but I thought it was just going to stay that way and it wasn't going to be made public. This makes it all public, and I like the fact that James is like, man, you can go ahead and, you know, think that you're America's darling and everybody's going to take, but you know what? I'll clap back at you and I'll tell you what you really are.
That's interesting, because I've, you know, there's a certain point where if you are James, you've got to, you know, if Charles Barkley is messing with you, like Charles, there was a quote, him messing with Draymond last night for getting a triple single.
Yeah.
Which is funny, and, you know, that's Chuck being Chuck and having fun, and, you know, I hope Draymond doesn't take it too serious, but there's, you know, there's a certain point where you can have fun with your fellow players in the league, and then there's a certain point where you don't cross a line. I don't know if Giannis crossed the line by doing that, because let's be real, James is known as a ball hog. It's just the style of offense that they run. So I don't know, man.
I'm gonna tell you this. The other comment that he made was even more impactful, because we all know that, you know, Giannis was talking about, you know, the things that he does and the fact that James doesn't pass and all those other things. And James he laughed it off at first, and he had kind of the middle of the road answer. And then he turned around and he said, no, you know what? If you're just 7 foot and you can dribble and dunk on everybody and that's all you do, then okay. He goes, but what I do, you have to work at to do it the way I do it. And that's what I really liked.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Now he's just spewing facts too. He's like going, you know what? You think you got all this. Everybody knows you can't shoot the three. And I'm calling you out to say the other things that you do aren't that special. Now, obviously, we know Giannis is special.
Sure.
But I like the fact that it's not like just plain name calling. It's like you want to call me out for like going to the foul line a lot or not passing enough or whatever you want to take shots at.
All you gotta do is dunk. Didn't he say something effective? All you have to do is dunk.
Yeah. You're 7 foot tall, and if you can handle the ball, and all you got to do is dunk.
That's it, and then he's got to work at it, and yeah, pretty interesting.
So I like it. I like the fact that, you know what, as we talked about, even with the Astros, embrace the hate. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like if he embraces the hate, and whether he uses it for extra fuel, I don't know that he needs any more. But if that's the way he handles the media, I like it.
Yeah, me too. I'm with you.
So I hope that carries over to tomorrow night when they go to
Boston.
I hope
every Houston team is just the villain this year. How awesome would that be?
Well, the only one that isn't is the Roughnecks, and I think Houston needed the Roughnecks right now because being undefeated in a new league is better than the opposite.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're just getting started. It is a half hour into the show, so we're hour number one, 3 hour extravaganza. Plenty more opportunities for you to join. 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can also hit us on Twitter, where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is funny. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97. I got blocked from the kids on the hill, with my mom and my pops. I came to get down.
I came to get down. So get down to your seat and jump around. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, Daryl Morey, your general manager, had a great line to kind of address all of that. He said, being different doesn't really get appreciated until it works.
Yeah, or when I'm done. You know, when it's all said and done, you know, they'll appreciate it more, you know. But I wish I could just run and with 7 feet and run and just dunk. Like, that takes no skill at all. I got to actually learn how to play basketball and how to have skill.
Gotta love that.
Yikes.
I just love it.
Yeah. Good for him for firing back.
I literally texted my boys at the Bucks this morning going, you got yourself a rivalry now. Because now it's on. It ain't about just innuendo and maybe Giannis took a shot and maybe James took it that way. Now it's all out front and center.
That's a great point, that it's no longer just he said, she said. Yep. It is full-fledged, I don't like you and you don't like me. And now let's make it known and we'll see you in the future.
Let me point out the only thing that makes this better, fellas.
Okay.
There's one more matchup between these two teams this year.
I was literally pulling up the schedule March 25th.
March 25th in Milwaukee. Those two teams square off. That's going to be must-see TV.
Rockets go on the road to Wisconsin.
Love it.
ESPN is going to have it.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Nationally televised game.
Well, they need it because when they flexed that one game against Memphis, they probably did not appreciate it.
How about last night? How about Golden State and the Lakers and then LeBron on top of it sits out?
Yes.
Awful. They have to implement more of the flex like the NFL. Like in my days working in the NBA, they a month in advance, if they wanted to, they could swap games.
Right. I mean, right now, you've got TNT April 2nd, Rockets, Golden State. No one cares about that. No. Flex it now. You've got till April 2nd to get those cameras moved. Just do it.
I was thinking about last night's game. The only thing I could think about was, one, Steph was supposed to come back about this time. But more importantly, as long as you had a full roster for the Lakers, people would probably tune in to see that. But the way it all played out, it's like, come on, guys, think better. There had to be a different matchup last night that you could have flexed to.
Well, tomorrow you're going to get a good matchup.
I love the game tomorrow night. And look, we said ABC. When they first started playing small ball and Boston came here, it'd be a good test. Now, with a five-game winning streak and Boston playing really good right now and getting healthy, and on the road, really, really good test tomorrow night to see a Celtics team that plays very similar to the way they play, although they have bigs they can implement.
Yeah.
I want to see how the matchup goes again tomorrow night.
Well, they still have a game left with the Clippers. They still have a game left with the Lakers. So, you know, they've got obviously at least two more with Dallas. So you've got I was trying to see if they had Denver on the schedule still. No, but like,
I think they're done with the Nuggets.
Yeah, they're done with the Nuggets, and I believe they're done with the Jazz. But you still got two of the four teams that are ahead of them on the schedule. To me, that's where you look to
for the test. And yeah, you can play teams with a big man. If you, when they play the Sixers at the end of March, that's going to be a good test if Joel Embiid is actually playing. Because that's a big team.
He may not play. Simmons is not looking very healthy.
Done for the year.
Sixers is in a bad situation.
Well, they said he's out indefinitely because the back injury is very, very delicate.
Because it's a pinched nerve, right?
Yeah. And,
wow.
And I think it's
There's
a pinched nerve and they're not. There's something else. They're just not saying what that something else is.
So Joel Embiid has basically a month to get healthy. That's March 31st.
He's out at minimum of a week.
Okay.
It's a sprained shoulder and they're going to reevaluate.
But it's still not the same test because I would want to see. I mean, Ben Simmons is a big guard, and you know Joel Embiid. Yeah, but still, I mean, he's going to get to the rack on a small team.
No, I see what you're saying. The only thing was what happened with Joel Embiid's shoulder is that when it initially happened, he tried to shoot two free throws, he missed both of them. Then he went on the bench. Then he went into the locker room. Right. Mm-hmm. Then he comes back to the bench and then has to go back to the locker room. Mm-hmm. So that tells me that's not a good sign. So I think, if they're healthy, it's a decent test.
Were you watching ESPN when the news came down? Because it was Stephen A. was in pregame of that Rockets-Grizzlies game talking to Woj. And Woj, who obviously gets information before anybody, said he's left the court and people are very, very worried in Philadelphia. He then said he's making his way back on his own to the bench, which means he should be okay because he's walking. And I guess that with the pounding of your feet, just even walking your shoulder, if it was really bad. So he assumed because he walked back to the bench and sat back down, he was going to play. And then all of a sudden they were like, not only is he not on the bench anymore, but it could really be something. And that's when they did the MRI the next day.
Well, they're only a game and a half up on the Pacers.
I think that's a team right there that might just fold up.
Back?
They might fold up their tent. No, I'm talking Philly. Just
break it up?
Not break it up, although I would consider that too. But I would say for the rest of this year, based on your best two players being in that kind of peril, that might be one where you just say, you know what? It's not our year.
Try to make the lottery.
Yeah, I don't know if you can fade that fast, but...
Well, yeah, you'd have to drop 10 games.
Yeah.
That ain't happening.
No, I don't think
They're
so.
They're still good enough, but... Well, that kind of sucks. You don't make... You're going to be a low seed, get bounced in the first round, not make the lottery.
Easy for Milwaukee. Easier for Milwaukee or Boston. I think those are the two best teams in the East. Toronto's getting a lot of love right now, but playoff Toronto without Kawhi, I think, would be different. But I think it just shows you how easy the East is compared to the West when we talk about how deep the West is with all the teams that have a chance to do something if they just get in.
Yeah, that's going to be Heat aren't looking too great either. And I was like, is Butler out? But no, he's playing.
No, he played.
He only had 18, and they're lost to the Timberwolves.
Did you see that? Uh-uh. Minnesota had lost 81 straight games when down double digits in the fourth quarter with a certain amount of time left. They were down 12 with 3 minutes to play, and they won. Miami just absolutely just threw up all over themselves.
Miami split with the Cavs in back-to-back games against them.
Yeah,
that's not good.
And Miami's been talented. They've been good all year. But, again, you got to peak at the right time. That's why if you're a Rockets fan, you got to love, whether you blame it on small ball or whatever, they're getting healthy.
Yeah.
They're playing this style and playing it well. And they're winning games, scoring a ton of points. That bodes well getting ready for playoffs as opposed to a lot of these teams that are just going to limp in.
So, I mean, is it... If this trend continues, then, you know, is it safe to say Daryl Morey did it again? He pulled a rabbit out of the hat. I mean, he went out and got some solid depth once again, figured it out.
I don't know how, but they're
better. Do you think that, okay, let me ask it this way. This is a better way to phrase this. Are they better now than when they started the year?
Absolutely.
I think they are, too. I think especially because of the defense, and I'm not going to say they're going to be like this defensive monster, but in terms of cleanup defense with Covington and Jeff Green, I think they did really good against Memphis, especially in the first quarter. I don't know if they're going to do that against better teams, but I'm telling you, there was a move where Morant just absolutely – he did this pump fake on James Harden, and he just made Harden go the other way. And he was wide open until Covington came and just absolutely swatted that ball.
Yeah.
And so that cleanup defense to me is the difference. If you can just if you can really implement that cleanup defense, you almost have a completely different Rockets team.
It's rotations. To Nick's point, he's absolutely right. The rotations, you have to have smart players defensively to know when to leave your man, come over from the weak side and help, and when to rotate when a guy goes out to because they're playing small. They got to contest the perimeter by running out at guys. That means everybody has to switch a station, go station to station.
Yeah,
a lot of the guys they had in the past didn't get it. Maybe they didn't want to get it, but they didn't do it. You're right. Covington, Green, and even Damari Carroll, they're smart enough on defense to know how to rotate and also how to switch and how to help. So I think you're right. They're getting better defensively, and they're not there yet. That's also another good sign. But I'll pass judgment on this team, as I always do, and I tell you guys this every year. One, yeah, after the trade deadline, and two, more importantly, how do they look in the playoffs?
Well, and I get that, but I'm just I think it's a simpler question to ask because it was really more related to what Daryl Morey has or hasn't done for this team this year. So I think the question is, are they better than when they started the season? And I'm with you guys. I think they are.
Yeah, unequivocally,
they're deeper. Yes. They're older, but they're not old. They got
experience.
More. Yeah.
Wiser, yeah.
There you go. They got more experience. And I think that they got guys that the moment's not too big for them. Because let's be real, guys like Daniel House, sometimes you feel like, ugh. Well, now you've got, instead of Daniel House, who could melt away in the playoffs like he did last year and disappear, you got Jeff Green, who has been there, done that. It's not going to be too big for him.
Ben McLemore and all his playoff games of experience?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be zero.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's another guy. I told you guys about how even last year, when Daniel House got yelled at by either Harden or D'Antoni, he disappeared. You can't have that at the biggest time of the year. But to your point, we had this discussion about the Rockets about, 3 weeks ago? And we were talking about, who do they have on their bench?
Yeah. And now look.
Like, Austin Rivers might have been the only guy. And because Eric Gordon was hurt at the time. Now, their second five could hold their own with a lot of teams in this league.
Their second five is pretty good defensively.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Austin Rivers will absolutely cross you when he wants to.
No doubt.
He's done it. Probably three times that I've seen in the past four or five games where the defender just went a completely different direction. So if he can continue to play like that on offense, I feel like he puts a decent effort on defense. So, you know, like if he does it on offense, I think that's a really good second unit.
I'm still going to point out. Still going to stand by what I said earlier in the year, though. If this is another, second round bouncing, can you win with that core? Can you win with James? I mean, dude, I know that he's not going anywhere, but at some point you have to look at it and say, what else do you do? You went out and got Dwight. You went out and got Chris. You went out and got Russ. You couldn't win with any of those guys. Ugh.
I hope
they get to the Western Conference Finals and are another hamstring away, because then I'm more convinced.
Your final punctuation can be an exclamation mark. Anything less than that, the question marks are all over the place. Not just because of that. With Harden, can you win with Harden?
Coach.
It's going to be Mike D'Antoni, because we were talking about it the other day.
Daryl, too. Even though we're praising all the moves and stuff.
No, it's exactly where I was going. Nick and I were talking about this the other day, where It was an open and close case. Mike D'Antoni was gone unless they made a long run, and it didn't look like they were even going to. He might not even last that long. Now the door's back open. Small ball saved his ass, and if they do something, he may be around. But it all is predicated on the playoffs. If they get bounced early, Daryl, D'Antoni, guys they brought in, everybody's going to be questioned.
Yep.
And it's going to be a very, very tumultuous offseason again, because you can't just keep making moves to be relevant in the regular season only to fade quickly in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So we'll see. That's going to be a bit, and matchups are going to be huge in the playoffs.
And it's unfortunate because they're in a year where there's the Lakers seem to be as dominant as Golden State. And so you thought, okay, well, the Warriors are gone, we don't have to worry about it. And now you're like, damn. Here's another team that looks like they could be just better from 1 through 12.
Well, it's funny, before the season, everybody thought the Clippers were going to be the one seed.
And yeah.
Now the Lakers, you're right, look strong as all get out. And the Clippers, Paul George has scored 12 points or less in his last four or five games.
I mean, there was a point when the Lakers had like four guys on their roster. And you were like, it was like LeBron and AD, and that was it. They didn't have any depth yet because they were making all the moves and did all the trades. And it was like, what the hell are they going to do? And they've gotten a lot better because Team C
was a lot different than a year ago when they tried to make Lance Stevenson and JaVale McGee offensive weapons and starters. And you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Team has no chance to win in the postseason.
That'd be huge for LA, though. I mean, I'm not really a Lakers fan, but think about it. What does that do for LeBron's legacy? What does that do for the city, considering the passing of Kobe Bryant? Golly, that would be so huge.
Yeah, I thought about it.
I think the NBA almost wants them to win the championship.
I don't disagree. I think you're absolutely right. I think, one, LeBron, the LeBron story was already there, but when the Kobe helicopter went down, and with him, the whole criticism about him really being a Laker, and can he, take the torch and run with it, this would be, on so many levels, so huge for the Lakers, the league. I think, Nick, you're right.
I want the Rockets to win, but it would be pretty cool to see the Lakers win. This would be one year where I'd be like, I'm not mad if the Lakers win.
I hate you.
I'm not mad at it. I'm really not.
Right now.
Just this one year.
I kind of agree, but
still. But if it was just if Kobe was still alive, probably no. If it was just LeBron getting another chip, you know, that's good for his legacy and all. But the fact that Kobe passed away, I think it makes it completely
different. I hear you loud and proud, and in my case, I just wouldn't say just this one year. Okay, so we're going to continue to roll on. This is just hour number one of the three-hour extravaganza. Lots more to get to, and if you guys want to join us, please do. You know how to reach us, either by the HR&P listener line where you can call and text, or you can hit us on Twitter. We'll continue with a whole lot more. It's the usual suspects on an FEF Friday, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects as we span the globe for sports stories and find things that we can chat about.
Spanning the globe. I don't know how it went.
Doesn't matter. We were talking pre-show. We all heard it and saw it from different places. But, boy, this news out of Detroit. I mean, it's one thing when your city files for bankruptcy as a city, right? It's another thing when you attack Garth Brooks and you're not the sharpest tool in the shed to figure out what the hell's going on. As the story goes, Garth doing a concert in Detroit, and as I heard Charlie describe, and we used to do it for years working for the Rockets, that when there were entertainers in the building, you know, whether they asked us or we asked them, if they wanted to wear Rockets gear on stage, we encouraged it because it was a free, you know, applause from the crowd and pump, you know, good pub for the team. But Garth comes out in a Sanders 20 jersey,
yeah,
in the Lions' home, as Charlie put it, Honolulu blue, which is actually their colors, yes, in the Lions' blue, a Sanders 20 jersey.
Yes.
Any problem with that?
None at all. Barry Sanders was great. Bernie Sanders, not a great running back.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders lacked, you know, escapability. His hip movement, not so good. You worry about him breaking a hip. But also, Bernie never really had the ability to break away from the pack. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like...
The Green Bay Packers?
No. You could have just let me
finish. It's in the division. It works.
Never mind. The bit's over now. Thanks.
So...
I was trying to draw a comparison to Bernie Sanders being a terrible running back and political candidate, Joel.
Well, okay.
Oh! Nicholas, what are you doing today?
What am I doing today?
Look, here's the thing that I think is the funniest part about this. See? Here's the thing I think is the funniest part about this. Mm-hmm. Is that all the people that said that they're not watching football because Cap was taking a knee anymore, they obviously never watched football to begin with. Because that's the ones that got upset about this.
How are you in
those
Detroit?
Those people are the ones that they were like, really? Sanders? Really? A socialist? It's like, okay, you're the ones that also said you were never going to watch football again because Colin Kaepernick kneeled, and now you've outed yourselves. You never watched to begin with. You never wore Nikes, so you're not boycotting Nike or the NFL. It's ridiculous, and these people look so stupid.
How can you? You can't spin this. You really can't. I mean, no. When you think about it, whether it was just concert goers or just the whole city, they should take the Wonderlic test. Because when you look at this and say that you don't know the jersey of your favorite football or your hometown football team, whether it's your favorite team or not, right? You don't know the greatest player to ever put on a Lions jersey, wore 20, and his name was Barry Sanders. And you associate the number with the year of the election and Sanders with Bernie. How dumb can you look?
It's pretty funny, but it's also, it's very coincidental.
It's sad.
But like the first one that I saw was, and it was in an article, but Jen Jen Soccer Mama on Instagram is like, good grief. Can you just do what you get paid to do? Why does it have to involve politics?
That's the one that stuck out to me.
So sad. We don't pay good money for anything other than to watch you perform. Thought you were different. It's like, what are you, first of all.
You're the one who wants to make it about politics because you put that on there.
I did see somebody bring up this point, which I thought very valid. Now,
It's a lot of people like that that if they think it's an opposing candidate, they want to immediately tell you to stick to your job, right? Like we've gotten that. If I've come on here and said something about Trump, I've gotten stick to sports, don't talk politics. But somebody has something pretty interesting when they talk about like people like Jen Jen Soccer Mama telling Garth Brooks to stick to entertainment and stay out of politics. Trump was a real estate guy and a reality TV star. Mm-hmm. No one told him to stick to politics because he became the president. Yeah. So stop telling people to stick to their job. Trump was able to overcome, quote unquote, the stuff that he did, not in politics. Stop. That's a silly argument. If you live in this country, you have the right to talk about politics. Period. End of story. I don't care what your job is.
And we know in the past, from entertainers mm-hmm. to movie stars to whoever, they use their platform the way they see fit.
If you don't like it, support
them. Brad Pitt won an Oscar for the first time this year, and he used the platform of the acceptance speech to make it political.
If you don't like it, just don't support those people. I mean, I'm losing followers every week or so because I come out and bitch about Trump's tax plan. And Trumpsters get so mad. Rather than just being like, okay, that's your opinion. Nope, I'm unfollowing you. Well, okay, that's cool. They'll be back, though, when I start trashing the next Democratic president because I don't like him either.
It is crazy, though, that we've talked about this in the past, just on Facebook, and you've had friends for your whole life, and friendships have been ended since this last election and all the way through all this stuff. I've had so many friends on Facebook embarrass themselves with another friend right in front of all of their other friends going back and forth on just obsessive politics. And it's crazy. But come on, guys. I mean, it's like saying that Garth – pick an entertainer and they come to Houston, say for the rodeo.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody in this town knows what a Texans jersey looks like. They're not going to say it's the red, white, and blue of the United States.
You would think.
Come on, man. I mean, in your own city, granted, I bang on a lot of the fashion choices and otherwise of the people of Milwaukee. I can guarantee you, even if it was Bucks, Brewers, or Packers, they're going to know what that jersey is and that it has nothing to do with politics.
Well, it's people from around the country that I think are really upset about it. That they thought that he was supporting Barry Sanders.
Just dumb.
Or, I mean, Bernie Sanders and not Barry Sanders. So it's really dumb. Now, the beautiful thing is we just got tagged on a tweet as well from Brandon Whitehead. But people are now making like memes where they have a picture of Barry Sanders and then they Photoshop Bernie's face on it. And then the Detroit Lions came out with a vote for Barry Sanders 2020.
That's fantastic.
Campaign. This
Can
is
I tell
hilarious
you what, did
to
they
me.
Do this? Instead of putting the donkey or the elephant, did they put the Lions logo in red, white, and blue? That's where they should.
Oh,
that would have been fantastic.
Joel, that's a good call. But they didn't. They just put a goat.
They put the goat. Yeah, if you'd have put the Lions
the
logo
he's
with red,
the goat,
white,
though,
yeah,
right?
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. That's outstanding. And then these.
Oh my God!
Here, this is for the people on the Twitch, but you can see Bernie Sanders as a running back. Good stuff. Dumb people, really dumb people.
I'm telling you, one of my best friends is from Detroit. He will not live this down. If he ever says anything comparing cities again, I'm going right to this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just awful to see that something like that would happen. But literally, I'd like to see someone at the rodeo do something like that here, and everyone would be able to tell the difference. And I think everybody nationwide could tell they should be able to tell the jerseys apart.
Apparently not. I feel like the majority of those people are so sensitive about their politics that as soon as they saw it, they just knee-jerk reacted, not even realizing that it was just an NFL player that was on his back.
Just
too
ridiculous.
Funny.
Yeah.
Too
All right,
funny.
So that'll about do it for hour number one of the show. We still got two to go, which means plenty more opportunities in the next 2 hours for you to be a part of it. 713-780-3776. HRP Listener Line. You can call that number, text that number, and you can also hit us up on Twitter. We'll be back with the second hour of the show. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Stop the show for me
now. There you go, because I told you so, you know. ESPN 97.5.